This is a HeadGum Original.
So you're saying, Phil, that in your regional version of calling shotgun, you can't call shotgun until you see the car?
You sound completely in disbelief of this. I don't I don't even buy that you don't believe this. It's like super common.
You think I'm faking it?
Right now?
You think I'm making up my regional rules?
A little bit. I don't think you're making up your regional rules. I don't think that you don't believe that those are my regional rules.
You know, I mean, I'm curious as to what the New York City regional rules are, because by the time I came to New York City, I kind of aged out of calling shotgun.
There are no New York City rules. Too few people have cars.
Yeah.
There See is the no parking rule garage about is... calling shotgun.
Yeah,
here.
But for us, yeah.
The game
us,
barely exists here.
In the South, it was, or at least in our region of the South, it was once you're out of the building.
Yeah.
So
I get that. I understand
outside,
it.
Once you call shotgun,
but
the moment the noses are out, you can call shotgun. The car could be a mile away.
I feel like that is the same every time. This is my problem with that. That's the same every time. Every time you ever leave the building, you immediately say shotgun. Whereas when it's you have to see the car, that's like it can change every time. It's a game that's in flux.
Does it break into a lot of foot races at the last minute to get around a corner or to?
I can't remember.
Or just to position yourself, like to be on the outside of a turn, so you see the car around the corner of a building.
Yeah,
first?
Maybe some positioning. I feel like the metagame hadn't reached that level really. The sophistication in gameplay was pretty low. It was like, oh, I see the car. I remember. I can call.
Just to prove I'm not a Philistine and I'm not rooted in my ways. You know, just a use case that I'm seeing your way could be better. Let's say you're getting out of the car. Going on a 15-mile hike, you're not going back into another building.
That's true.
You know, are you going to go into a national park restroom, the one place you go inside, and come out and be like, "Oh, shotgun!"
To come out of a
seven
door.
7 miles on the hike seems like you weren't really inside.
I guess the last place is as you leave the car.
Yeah, when you're getting out of the car, you're calling shotgun. It just seems not in the spirit of the game. But as you're coming down that last hill, and you see the car,
it's a moment.
Both of these are incredibly common ways to play the shotgun game. These are both very common variants.
Yeah.
You're playing the Delta and Omicron version of the shotgun game here.
There has to be a really dumb regional version of shotgun that we are not talking about, and that's what I want to know about.
You have to touch the door of the car?
Touch the door. Or,
yeah, just know. Whoever gets, but that's whoever gets there first.
For sure.
Yeah, some like rude area of the country.
You have to touch a physical shotgun. You have to shoot a gun.
Or something.
Yeah. To shoot a gun while you call shotgun.
But we're not talking about the shotgun rule today.
Seems like we were talking about it.
We are.
Phil brought it up because he has a hack. You have a life hack, Phil.
I have a life hack, which is if you refer to your romantic partner as shoddy, you for free also get the benefit of always having the passenger seat in the car.
That's right. It's like a magic word that you're saying out loud.
Only if you're looking at the car.
Only if you're looking at the car.
So you just have to constantly be calling your spouse.
That's true.
Or your brother or your friends. If you call your brother or your friends.
Yeah, I would raise my brothers, you know. That's why I call my brothers shoddy. Yeah.
Absolutely, exactly. They're shorter than you. They're a bunch of shorties.
And is that your going pet name with your partner? Is shoddy?
Yeah, no, all the time. No. I don't think since we don't have a car, I once there was no car involved, I said, all right, dropping that nickname.
You're like, I hate to tell you, but I was actually only calling you that.
It was
for
just
kind of this life hack I had.
It was an efficiency thing. I don't like the back seat. I get car sick.
And you were dating the successful singer, Sean.
I love that there's just two of you, but she was making you sit in the back seat. That's truly rude.
Yeah. You have to. No, that's how it works. If you don't call Shoddy, then you have to sit in the back seat.
That's the
other part of the rules.
That's a messed up regionalism. That is a messed up regionalism. But there's only one better place than the streets, the hard streets of New York,
right,
to talk about Shoddy. And that's in the IAS song Replay.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to talk about today. IAS Replay.
Let's punch it.
Here on Punch Up the Jam. Mm. welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Phil Jameson is here. We're huge fans of your YouTube videos.
Thank you.
Go check them out if you haven't already. Where should they look at them, Phil?
I'm everywhere as Phil Jameson, J-A-M-E-S-S-O-N.
Double S. I love to see it.
Double S.
How would you describe your videos to a newbie?
I would say it's a sketch comedy. It's pretty down the middle sketch comedy. I had uploaded YouTube videos when I was 13, 14, 15, and I learned that format where you play every character, you know?
Yeah.
That
now
one.
Very popular on TikTok.
It's very popular now. Very popular now.
It's come back around. You were doing it when it was popular.
I was doing it before.
You were doing it when it became unpopular.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
For a long period you were doing it while it was incredibly unpopular.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And many people said this will never be popular again because of you. No, we made it through to the other side, and that's what we're doing.
And now the cool thing is now it'll never be unpopular again. It'll stay the trend and not change.
I found that about fashion and style, that everything stays the same.
The way it's come as possible.
So, Phil, you sent us a couple options for songs this week.
Yeah.
And what popped for us when we went through the list is a song I love.
Yeah, I like the song.
You only like it.
So here's the thing. I enjoy the song. When I'm listening to it, I end up singing it. I also just fear this song because it's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the season.
Well, that's in the title.
Yeah.
Iaz, Replay.
It. I don't know if it's a subliminal thing also, but it's going to be there.
It's dangerously catchy. It's lethally catchy.
It's one of the catchiest songs that I can think of.
So are you saying, correct me if I'm going out on a limb here, but are you saying that the song is too catchy? Because you're saying you like it, but you're saying it's dangerous.
I think you might be right. I think the reason that I temper the amount that I say that I like the song is because it's too catchy. It's actually a drawback for me.
Like if it was 10% less catchy, you'd be like, I love this.
It might be like that.
Because I was able to experience joy while I listened to it, and then I set it aside. I went about my life. I'm not trapped in this prison of Iaz.
Exactly. And also, who's singing the song when it's not playing? Me. You don't want that. You want Iaz singing the song. That's the point.
Well,
that's why he did it.
Well, and for better and for worse for Iaz, this is the song he will be singing, I think, for the rest of his days. This is a little bit of a one-hit wonder for him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like if you book Iaz for a private party, or he's performing at a county fair and picking those kind of depressing events because he's not had a lot of success releasing more albums.
This
since.
Is the peak of the career trajectory.
He's one of those artists that's like, well, you have to do Replay. If you don't do Replay, we're not.
Yeah.
We're not.
There is no reason for you to be here.
There's no reason for you to be
at the Iowa State Fair.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it didn't seem like what the trajectory of his career was going to be in 2009. This is his first hit. It's an enormous hit. It's, you know, almost tops the charts, almost goes to number one as a debut hit, only blocked by Kesha's TikTok, which is just like an enormous hit.
Yeah.
He's discovered by Sean Kingston, who's like, he just had all these hits. You know, he had Beautiful Girls. Get all those other hits. They're both from the Caribbean.
I didn't realize that. And now that you mention it, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
So Sean Kingston is reaching down, offering Iaz a hand up as his fellow Caribbean singer.
They're both from the Caribbean. And there's like, I think, a little bit of a almost like music label Ponzi scheme happening where Sean Kingston is signed to this one record label. But at this point, he's had so much success, he started his own record label.
Oh, of course.
Right, that's right. Under the record label. Oh, that's really under another
the
record label.
The Nesting Dolls.
And then, Sean Kingston is signing Iaz to his record label. But it's like, of course, everybody up the chain is getting a piece.
But isn't Sean Kingston himself, on an Akon imprint or something like that?
He's on a imprint, I believe I have this right, called Beluga Heights.
Beluga Heights.
Beluga Heights.
That's the first time I ever heard that.
And they just have a huge, 4 to 5 years around this time where they're putting out Sean Kingston, they're putting out Iaz, and they're putting out, I think, the person with probably the most lasting power, Jason Derulo.
Derulo's still with us.
They produce, What You Say, the song that, is that a Jason Derulo song, or is that an Imogen Heap song, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anytime you hear in a song,
Yeah, okay, that's always
your
impression of it. Your impression of it is really... It actually is bringing back a sense memory. It's a very, moment of very strong impression.
That is the producer, J.R. Rodham, from Beluga Heights. It's really like his thing.
His last name is Rodham?
I believe so.
He wrote them.
Oh my God.
Yes. Andrew, are you just realizing that that's a pseudonym?
He was just Rodham.
J.R. Rodham.
Yeah. That you want to know that every song, all these hits, this list of hits right here,
J.R. Rodham. I ride him and then I rode him. He should have been a Nashville hit writer.
He definitely doesn't talk like that.
He doesn't. He's from South Carolina.
He definitely does not talk like that.
And he was like a hit maker for, you know, on like an extraordinary level where he's writing for a lot of people that are not under the Beluga Heights label, but then like has like this 5 or 6 years where he's really hitting with the Beluga Heights with Derulo and Sean Kingston, who also becomes like a little one-hit wondery, but maybe less than Iaz.
He had Beautiful Girls. He had Fire Burning. Yeah.
Shorty Fire Burning.
But he has the really bad accent. He almost dies what are those things that are loud that you ride on the water like a motorcycle?
Roller coasters.
Yes. He almost dies in a roller coaster accident. And
ATVs.
It's hard for him to come back. A water ATV. Yes.
Well, the water ATV is called a jet ski.
He almost died in a jet ski accident.
Jet ski.
Living his Miami life. No, Evan.
That's horrible. But how supremely Caribbean of him.
I'm
belatedly going to play this segment bumper because I made it.
Song facts.
These are song facts, guys.
Nice. I'm going to hit you with another bumper, Evan.
Oh, no.
And it's for your least favorite segment on the show, a little segment we like to call $5.
Then you get $5.
This is a segment I try to do every week with Evan. I'm probably batting 800. We maybe do this 4 out of 5 shows where I ask Evan a piece of trivia about the... It's a piece of trivia. Hopefully it's not too hard.
Often it's about the song in question. Often it's about some dumb thing in Andrew's mind
that
he thinks is connected and is not.
You got it. The last time we recorded it, you got it. You were able to correctly guess.
I have a very bad track record.
That Luther Vandross is singing background vocals on David Bowie's album, which was a really good guess. That's tough.
That's a very good guess. That's a very good guess.
Thank you for celebrating my wins.
I mean, I gave you a couple of clues. But...
it's a tough question for $5. $4 or $5.
Is Phil in on this? We don't know what to do with the guests. Does Phil have a shot at $5 here?
Yes, but not. It's not cooperative. You can't split the $5. You're Evan's competitor.
Wow.
Evan's competitor.
Okay. Wow.
How did, you know, think about the year that Replay came out. Think about when Beautiful Girls is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
How did Sean Kingston reach out to Iaz and get in touch with him to sign him to his record label?
What was the year?
I believe that Replay comes out in 2009, and it's chart. It's kind of
a couple
notable.
Years later. Beautiful Girls has got to be. I don't know off the top of my head, but it's got to be 2006.
It's 2007, right?
2007.
Because it was on the radio when we were on the tour, right?
Sure.
Do I lock it? Do I hit a buzzer?
So at some point in that 2 year span, as Sean Kingston is rocketed to fame, he's trying to offer a hand up. He reaches out. He hears a demo, I presume, of some young singer from the Virgin Islands.
Iaz has moved to Rhode Island. He's from the Caribbean. He's moved to Rhode Island. For some reason, I'm not sure why.
I've got it. I do not know the answer to this.
Do you want to say it in unison just in case?
Yes. Let's say our answer at the same time so we both have a shot. Ready? Right.
Three, two, one. MySpace.
Got it!
Yeah! Very nicely done.
Oh, I felt it.
But unfortunately,
we sent our minds back there. We felt what it was like to exist in 2007.
The mid-aughts.
Unfortunately, because of the rules of the game, neither of you are going to get $5 because I specifically said you're competitors.
What?
I said you're competitors and you cooperated. That's
true. You have to send us $250.
I'll send you $250 each. but it was MySpace.
Sean Kingston, correctly assessed.
Correctly assessed.
People like me,
right.
They will like Iaz.
People who loved Beautiful Girls will love Replay.
Mm-hmm. He was right. I love Beautiful Girls, and I like Replay.
Is it because Beautiful Girls is stuck in your head
less? It's stuck in my head less, yes.
Yeah.
But I always love to hear it. When it comes on, I'm always happy about it.
It gets stuck in your head a little less because of the themes about suicide.
Yeah.
You're just like, I want to get this out. You work a little harder
to
get it out.
I did forget about those lyrics when I said I loved it emphatically just now. But I'm able to put it aside.
Put on the song Beautiful Girls by Sean Kingston, I did this week because I was reading my Iaz. I was like, beautiful girls. I want to put myself in a great mood.
Yeah.
I'll put that on.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, suicidal, yeah. suicidal. Oh, yeah, maybe I'm going to turn it. Maybe I'm going to put replay back on.
It's just written by a child who doesn't really know what the stakes are in suicide. Yeah. He just thought it was funny. I love beautiful girls because it's just blatantly by a child. Back in 99, watching movies all the time.
That's when I went away for doing my first crime. Evan and Michael and I had a very, very long-running bit that the crime he did was watching the movies. That those things were tied together.
It was a LimeWire situation.
Eventually came up with a... let's see if I can remember this off the top of my head. Whenever it came on the radio and we were together, we would sing in unison. It was back in 99, watching movies all the time. That's when I went away for doing my first crime. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Said forever, forever. Independence Day and Armageddon. How could I have known that they had copyright protection?
Yeah, we wrote a whole alternate verse. We punched up the song, basically, to correctly assess Sean Kingston's crimes.
Selling DVDs on the
we're talking about the wrong song in this episode. We got to save this for a Beautiful Girls episode. We will definitely punch it up with movies about
you've
lyrics.
Got material just, on
we
this.
We tell the truth. We explode the dangerous truth about Sean Kingston and his crimes.
One last riveting fact about Sean Kingston is he did help write the song. A lot of writers on the song. Kingston, I think Derulo helped write the song. Of course, who helped?
J.R.
wrote it. J.R. wrote him.
He wrote him.
And there's also a songwriting duo. Like, there's a lot of writers on the song. They're called...
good. I love a pop song written by committee. Always
Our
great.
Our City. And they have the real staying power. If you look up Our City, this producing duo that are brothers from the Virgin Islands, I mean, they've worked with, like, Charlie XCX, Usher, J-Lo, Beyonce, Lizzo. Mm-hmm. Like, they're crushing it. But they're all in the studio making this song that can never be out of Phil's head.
Yep.
And that he made us put back in his head today.
I wish I was there. I wish I was in that recording studio with like all these buddies that are like on their way up, their careers just starting, and one of them in that room that day had the brilliant idea, what if this song was about an iPod?
It is a critical lyric in the song. It is one of the lines that is repeated the most. It's in the chorus.
Mm-hmm. Hey guys, did you guys just see Steve Jobs' presentation? Do you guys just see the Apple keynote? Oh my God.
Tech, you don't want to put your tech in your song.
It's not going to be a wheel anymore. It's going to be a touchscreen. I mean, they're still going to produce the wheel iPod forever. That's not going away. But there's going to be a touchscreen one too with 128 GBs.
And everyone will prefer it.
Wait a minute. Did you just say iPod? The beat spins up.
Shawty's like a melody in my head that I can't keep on. Got me singing like na 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 na. Every day's like my iPod's stuck on replay.
I'm just going to have to pause it. There's so much to talk about on this song. I hope I'm not pausing it too much. But just the fact that the song starts on like it's a record winding up. And sort of pretending that this beat has just been going on forever, you know.
Well,
you stop
it. It was how iPods work. It's how iPods work too.
It's thematic.
You press the button and it goes.
Nope, it's not how they work. iPods are filled with digital files. They don't have to come up to speed.
Now they start small and they grow as the song plays too. The iPod gets bigger.
The iPod itself. That was the sound of. That was the sound of enlarging.
Yeah, the enlarging.
Yeah, when it's tiny, it goes. The iPod actually grew.
And then when the iPod turns on, when it's finally on, you know what noise you hear?
We're almost to that part.
iPod's on.
Shawty is like a... Wait, is she like a memory or a melody?
Melody.
She's like a melody in my head.
Because he can't get the Shawty out of his head.
Yeah, she's so catchy. Yeah, I love it. She's like a song.
He's always thinking about it.
Yeah, comparing people to songs. Always great in songs. I think we're... You don't like it?
Not really.
That seemed like a not strongly held opinion to me too.
It's fine. It's just like it's like
the immediate negative sound.
It's just a little too self-referential for me. I would rather say, but I don't know. It kind of in this song, I think it doesn't work for me. In this song specifically, it works for me because he's talking about the metaphor is so strong throughout the whole song, mm-hmm. Which is like, you're stuck in my head, like a song gets stuck in my head, so it's fine. I find that usually in songs, it's like a lazy third verse thing, where it's like, I'm sitting here at my table writing this song about you.
Yeah. I think.
And that's like.
You just got bored writing this song. Yeah, and you're writing about your own life.
Yeah. I once had a mentor tell me, like, whenever you find yourself about to like say that, just change it to a letter. Say you're writing them a letter. Mm-hmm. That's something everyone does.
Yeah.
A song is like, is very like.
Wait, that's someone, something everyone does?
Yes, everyone writes letters.
Yeah, I wrote you a text.
This man was 70 years old. this man was 70 years old in 2010.
Right, yeah. Right.
I guess to generalize, my pet peeve that's in the same lane is when the song starts with, or a verse starts with, "I woke up this morning." Mm. It's like, just delete that line right out of the song and get to whatever.
God
happened.
Damn it! You just got rude stuck in my head again.
Yeah, they did it. But a million
Why
songs
do you
do
have
it
to be so rude?
Because the songwriter's arriving with no ideas, and they're like, okay, what did I do today?
What
I woke up this morning.
Right, right. A day. What happens?
And it's the first line, so it doesn't have to rhyme, so they don't have to worry about morning. Because the next line is going to be the rhyming line. So.
Yes, exactly. It's the most phoned-in lyric that exists in so many songs, because it's just like, nothing was in my head, and I'm just thinking back like, yeah, what did I do today? Well, I woke up. Let's
single,
start with that.
Single exception to that, first song on John Prine's first album. When I woke up this morning.
At least he said when.
Things were looking bad.
Things were looking bad.
Yeah.
Somehow his delivery makes it like a parody of it to me. Yeah. I love that song.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to listen to a lot of Sad Boys songs that are like, well, I woke up this morning, sun coming through my window. I turn it right off.
We should work on a Spotify playlist. Just every song that starts with the words, when I woke up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Every song is that.
Yeah.
But it's not this song, because this song. It was like this.
Yeah, we'll crowdsource that one later.
Smooth.
Shawty's like a melody in my head that I can't keep on. Got me singing like, na 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 na, every day. My eyeballs like a replay.
There it is.
JR. He wrote them.
He wrote them.
There's JR wrote them.
Yeah, it's just a watermark on the song. You know, the same as like a Shutterstock thing across the image.
Yeah.
You know where the thing came from, no matter where you port this song to, that JR.
Once you hear it, and once you know that it is JR Totem's Beluga Heights watermark, you start to hear it even more. Like in the Derulo songs that I was listening to before this episode, in the Sean Kingston songs, you're just like, JR wrote them, could not help himself.
Right. But he also gave the technique to Jason Derulo. Do you think he gave the technique to Jason Derulo, or vice
Jason
versa?
Derulo always Jason says it's Jason Derulo. Derulo.
Yeah, you always want to announce yourself when you arrive on the track.
Yeah,
Jason Derulo. And it's a watermark.
It
it's his.
For him.
Every what if every writer? You said there's like it. Seven writers on the song. They're all doing it. They
what,
all sneak
what if someone
it in
else
there.
Just picked up the Jason Derulo? Can Jason Derulo stop him? You know, I put out a song just with a Jason Derulo just right at the top.
Yeah, and everyone would think, yeah, everyone, your voice sounds identical to him, by the way.
Yeah.
Your voice sounds exactly like Derulo. Yeah. And so it's like John Hancock, you know, just broadcasting, like, I don't want anybody to forget that I was here.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it.
And you could say, can I get your John Hancock on this? So you could do that for songs, like, too. Can I get your Jason Derulo on this?
Can I get your Derulo on this?
I want to do some historical reading about John Hancock. I feel like the guy's gotten a bum rap. I feel like he was probably it's like writing a check. You go to write the dollar amount, and you're like, oh, I'll start right here with, you know, $83.72. Yeah. And then you get to like the T of three, and you're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
I didn't start all the way on the left. Now the T is by the cents box, and I don't have enough room.
Right.
I feel like John Hancock probably signed first, and he was like, this is a big-ass piece of paper. I'll just write my name in normal size.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, he was there early when there were only like four people in the room
and
signing.
And
he's like, oh, okay, only four of us.
A couple hundred people are signing. They're having to get smaller and smaller.
Yeah, a bunch of bandwagoners.
They got there late.
Yeah, it's like, and John Hancock was probably feeling terrible. He was like, ooh, sorry, guys. Like, we should have done this in an Excel spreadsheet, and then everyone would have known how much room they had for their name.
Yeah.
Graph this out on graph paper. I know they didn't have Excel. Just do it on graph paper.
Yeah. Also, just the low loops of the J getting down, it like takes up the whole line below.
Did you guys know that another signer of the Declaration of Independence was actually Jason Derulo?
The first time we met, you was at the mall with your friend. I was scared to approach you, but then you came closer, hoping you would give me a chance. Who would have ever knew that we would ever be more than friends?
Okay.
Road white, breaking all the rules. She like a song played again and again.
Okay, what do we need to recap here?
I mean, what I love about this song and why I think I might like it more than Beautiful Girls, which is shocking me.
Wow.
I would have assumed I liked Beautiful Girls more than this before this week when I was listening.
You're trying to compare apples to apples here.
This is just so, it has such pure PG energy.
Extreme.
It's like I went to the mall, like I was rolling by the Walden Books and I think I saw you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of I went to jail, I got out, you broke up with me, and now I'm going to kill myself.
You're right. Just utter posturing. Yeah. Just extreme hyperbole and fiction.
Yes.
This is pulled straight from an eighth grader's life.
Yeah.
I saw the cutie by the Panda Express.
Yeah. Like yeah, you're trying to get your group of guy friends to go to the mall to just walk around, so maybe you'll see your crush with her group of friends at the mall.
Right.
And can some and some friction happens between your two groups.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good friction.
Yeah, it's so real. I'll just say, musically, the thing is really catchy, as Phil has already outlined. Why is it catchy? Why is it catchy? One of the key clues here is that this is one of the supreme aughts examples of a chord progression that is in almost every song. It's so common in top 40 music, whether it's rock or, you know, dance-driven music, your Kesha or whatever is using this, you know, the same progressions. If you took the chords in this song, which are only four chords, you know, shawty's like a memory, the whole song is over those four. You know, if I roll it back through the verse and or back to
verse
the chorus.
And chorus are over that.
Yeah. That's the same as the chorus. If I run it back to the chorus just to do this detective work, it's
same chorus.
The bass line is moving in the same direction. Mm-hmm. The verse and the chorus is the same progression, right? Those are the same chords that if you put them together, maybe if you started on a different one, you might get a different variation. But you would hear like Lady Gaga, Paparazzi, for example. Right. Barbie Girl, we talked about on the show. It's the same four chords.
Right.
Akon's using those four chords and like Lonely or Beautiful.
Right?
Other songs talk about the podcast. Africa is like classic example of the rains down in Africa. Take away from you. It's like a hack. It's like a hack where if you put that pattern in, it dials into the human brain. It goes right to the animal brain stem.
And what is it, Evan? Or is that one?
If you're numbering them, like if I'm doing shorthand in the studio with a bunch of other players, I would say this is 6-4-1-5.
6-4-1-5. So the relative, minor of the one, 6-4-1-5. One is the root.
I'd say
root
this chord is the key of the song. So you call that the one. Yeah. You start on 6, down to 4.
Yeah. So if the
numbers are referring to like the scale degree of that the chord sits on.
So if you know a little music but don't know the number system and you're playing in the key of C, that'd be like A minor. F the four chord,
yep.
C the one chord, G the five chord, and that's the one that you maybe put a seven in, so it resolves to one.
Right.
I'm trying to steal Evan's music theory shine from him.
Mm-hmm. Hey, soul sister, on the radio. There's like five different Maroon 5 songs that have this progression. It's like a little bit of a hack that if you don't know where to start writing the song, just start with this. And you're going to get that catchiness shine is going to happen for
your
song.
You already have the chords. You write them, and then you wrote them.
And then
J-R. You're the BMI Songwriter and Producer of the Year.
Next thing you know, you got a bunch of songs, and you wrote them.
I can't believe I didn't think I wrote them.
Okay, the girl looks like something off a poster. She's a dime, they say.
That one.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, so if we're talking PBS, PG, that just girl like is the gun to my holster.
Mm-hmm.
It is. We're pushing it.
You're saying visually it's a little too horny.
Yeah.
Well, there's. Well, I think that's if he were the gun, right?
It's like we're perfect match. I think it's like the gun. She's the gun to his holster.
Yeah.
It's not about his penis going in her vagina because then he'd be the gun to her holster.
No, it's. Yeah.
It's like they could have thought of a better pair. They could have said, "I'm the bubble to your gum. I'm the
roller to your coaster."
The
real problem they've written themselves into here is that they had the one idea about like this girl's really hot.
Yeah.
Therefore, I would see her on a poster. They had that idea. They wrote that down, and then instead of changing it, they felt like they're stuck with having to rhyme. Right. Gun with holster is like a phoning in rhyme, unnecessary rhyme.
Is it a little less BG? Yes, but when I think about it in the context of like Beautiful Girls is talking about suicide, Usher's talking about you're winding and grinding, down on the floor, talking about going to the club, looking at strippers in his songs, and then you got
the existence of a gun.
What was the other one? Of course. The song we all already talked about earlier today, Sexy Bitch, by Akon. It's like,
What's not PG about?
You get one bitch in a PG song, right? Well, you get one.
Not in the chorus.
You get
one.
Yeah, you don't get 28.
Gun to holster starts to...
Gun to my holster. Yeah, it's almost like an outfit at that point in time. It's almost like, I'm a cowboy. I'm putting the little gun in my holster.
They're
in
the mall.
Yeah.
Are they at the old-timey photo store in the mall?
Yeah. Or like Spencer's Gifts would have like one of those plastic pistols that you shoot at the like cans and make them pop off of a log.
It could be a cute way to be flirting with your 8th grade crush to, dress up like cowboys and get like a fake tintype picture taken of you.
Yeah. I think that's probably what he was doing.
That's definitely what happened.
That's probably the plot of the song.
So she's so hot she could be on a poster. She's a dime, they say. Feels a little awkward to me because he just saw her. Like, can he verify whether or not she's a dime? I think he's saying she is.
Yeah, that's like, that's just a they needed a rhyme.
Yeah, that's the reverse. It's the first part to All Day. That's definitely, he didn't want to write they say in that line.
Yeah.
She's just a dime, period. It's well established that we're talking about a hot chick that you can't stop thinking about.
Right.
Shawty's like a melody in my head that I can't keep out. Got me singing like na 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 na.
She's got me singing like na na na. She's exactly as catchy as na na na.
Shawty's like a melody in my head that I can't keep out. Got me singing like
na 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 na. Every day it's
like my iPod stuck on replay.
And that's it. That's it. I love the like using the vocal sampling to say that you're stuck in this mode.
Play.
And we haven't gotten too deep in that technique by the time this song's coming out, 2010, compared to like, I don't know, it was a few years later that this is another big hit that comes to mind is that Calvin Harris Rihanna duet. And he's looking at you, that whole thing, that the whole chorus is really catchy, and just also using that same chord progression. We just call that out. I didn't even think of that before. But it's like the catchiness is premised off of doing the vocal chops. And it just sounds really fresh in the way that autotune sounded fresh in 2005. Yeah. This is like early example of that. It's just like, play. We're like repeating that adds to the catchiness. It's really fun. Invokes the iPod.
And it's
in. Yes, thematic.
It's in like the... Music is matching the metaphor in a way that is very pleasing to me. I do have a question. Na 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 na.
Yeah.
Is iPod stuck in replay?
Yeah.
The na 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 is coming from his iPod, in my reading of the song. What's he listening to?
Like a melody.
What's?
I think he's just making an example.
No, I think he's just generating
an example. He's conversationally saying like, this shawty is like a melody. She is stuck in my head. You know what's an example of a melody? Let me tell you. You know what melodies are? Here. Here's an example that I just came up with. I'm a professional singer from the Caribbean, and an example of a melody is na 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 na.
Who were we just talking about, Evan, a couple episodes back? Is so infamous for being the na na guy that he almost trademarked na 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 na.
Earl?
I think Iaz is just cranking Van Morrison.
What?
I think Iaz is just like cranking Brown Eyed Girl, cranking Caravan. Na 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 na.
No, just because you're a Van Morrison head doesn't mean that Iaz, probably born in the late 90s in the Caribbean, knows anything about Van Morrison. I'm going back to his song now.
Been all around the globe, not once did you leave my mind. We talk on the phone from night till the morn. Girl, it really changed my life. Doing things I never do.
I'm
in the kitchen cooking things she likes.
That's PG, my friend.
This is so beautiful. This is heartwarming.
This is romantic.
I really like that lyric.
The more we get into the song, the more my heart is warm thinking about this little eighth grader learning to cook scrambled eggs with the cheddar cheese on top.
You mean this New England Institute of Technology student?
So you're saying he probably met the girl at like a Rhode Island suburban mall.
I'm the one who mixed the metaphor. I was talking about eighth graders at the mall are able to listen to this, and their parents are like, this is a great, wholesome song for Johnny to listen to.
Yeah.
But Ayaz is still having a similar emotional experience in Rhode Island, going to the mall, to the Ocean State job lot, and, you know, shopping around and hanging out while he's on a break.
You got me doing things I never do, like cooking things that she likes.
Oh, that's really sweet.
So sweet.
He learned to cook for her. It's nice. That's nice, Ayaz.
And he didn't just learn to cook.
Things she likes.
Cooking things she likes. He already knew how to cook spaghetti and meatballs. He made that for her.
Yeah.
Like their fifth date. And then like on their 10th date, she was like, actually, I don't even like spaghetti and meatballs. And he was like, what do you like?
Mm-hmm.
And I will make that.
Yeah. Whereas his last girlfriend also did not like spaghetti and meatballs, but he just kept making spaghetti and meatballs.
Absolutely refuse. Yeah.
I only cook that.
That's the only thing he was up for. No, he's
going to the Ocean State job lot and just buying every OXO cooking tool on the wall. He's like, I must please this girl. I'm gonna julienne.
I'm getting the good grips.
100%.
Yeah, getting the good grips. Yeah, I'm trying the pre-marinated pork tenderloin. Absolutely. What else do we know about his dating life here? Someday I wanna make you my wife.
Whoa! Whoa! Big.
Something about these synths feel really period too, just from the mid aughts.
Oh, big
sounds hand like claps. The Kesha track.
And the really tight snares, and very, very 2000. It's like my eyeballs, like a replay.
Shiny's like a melody in my head. Okay, now we've advanced enough. We got some ad libs. This put me in my spot. Yeah. This comes on the radio. You turn it up. I can be your melody. Let's call this the bridge.
So there.
She can be his. He can be her song.
Yeah.
There, I agree with you on the I don't need the melody one. The whole song's about how she's his melody. I don't think he needs to offer to be her melody at this stage.
He's already her chef.
And it is. This is third verse. No, this is bridge, but.
You're right. But strongly we're late. Agree, though. They ran out of idea. They get to the bridge. They feel obligated to put in a bridge. Like, this is the way we write songs in 2010, right?
Right.
You must have verses, choruses, and then arrive at a bridge about two-thirds of the way through. They feel obligated, out of ideas, that we're just going to talk about melodies again.
I just want them to go deep with the cooking stuff.
Yeah, get back to what you're
100%.
Cooking. 100%. Techniques you're using.
You are a pescatarian. Guess I'm going to have to buy some tuna.
Yeah.
You know, a meat thermometer javelin. Get it to the right degrees. I don't. Yeah. This is a first draft, guys.
Yeah.
I'm gonna work more than one night on it.
Or more stuff that cooking is the only thing we learned about. These guys, you got me doing things I never do.
Yeah.
You know, like it could be 1 million things. Yeah, it's an eighth grade song. We're not gonna get to butt stuff in this song.
Right.
Stick with skydiving, ATVs.
Yeah.
For example,
or other mundane helpful things like getting you a box of tissues. Like handing you things.
Yeah.
It's not a huge ask to ask to cook something for your partner.
Yeah, but he's trapped in this melody metaphor.
Yeah.
He is.
He's got to say it. And now he kind of got it confused, got it twisted around where, I could be your melody. You're already my catchy melody.
But, and also the next line is, I could write you a symphony. So then you're dropping the metaphor too. And now we're
just
talking about a literal.
Bragging. Now you're just bragging.
You're just talking about how you're a good musician now.
Yeah. The problem is, I'm just going to be honest, he's not going to write her a symphony. He's going to call up JR.
Ooh.
Who's really going to be writing the symphony?
That's a tearful confession when he has to look up into her eyes and say.
Ayaz is maybe writing the top line, but more likely he's inviting over 10 buddies. One of them is like, what should we write a song about? How about this right here? How about my iPod? Could we write the song about this?
You guys see the Apple keynote presentation this week?
Yeah, good idea, Phil. And then you just hand all the ideas over to JR.
Yeah.
He walks away and comes back with a track that slaps.
This is to me. As did it all, Evan. Other guys are parasites.
He's not going to write the symphony. Okay, what else is he promising in this bridge? A melody, a girl I could write you a symphony. The one that could fill some violins, as an example. So come, baby girl, let's sing with me.
Wow, this symphony's getting good.
And I'm Yeah, just as it just, I'm serious about the symphony. Did you hear the violins?
Yeah, this is not helping.
It's already happening.
Not helping his argument.
It's already. Yeah. I'm already writing you a symphony.
Stick with the cooking. And that's personal. That's nice. You didn't do it with a team of nine guys.
Yeah.
I'm not going to address which guy did the most, but just focus on your domestic life and your the domestic fun.
Yeah,
I'll empty the dishwasher too.
Great.
There you go.
That'll win over some hearts right there. We made it out of the bridge with. What I think is kind of like a fun post-bridge thing was just get right back to the na-nas.
Okay.
You know what? I don't know. I have my doubts about Ayaz writing string arrangements or woodwinds or brass in a symphony. I frankly don't think it's happening. I think he's gone too far in this brag.
You don't think he wrote them?
But you know what I believe he really can write is na-nas, for sure.
You think he wrote them?
Ayaz wrote them.
Okay.
When it comes to na-nas, Ayaz wrote them. Ayaz wrote them.
When it's the symphony?
Rotom.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep saying Rotom until
it's at least smiles.
At least smiles.
It's getting less funny. If you stick with it about 10 more minutes, I think it's going to come back.
Well, I'm glad I can make myself laugh. That was nice.
Same chords. Never varied. A little breakdown. You always shrink the track. You cut out the rhythm section.
Yeah, through.
I love the early 2000s. Hey!
Yeah.
Yeah. Frankly, I feel like bringing the JJJJJR again here. Just give me another one. Why not?
Play, 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 play.
Ooh, a big sub bass on the 808 going out.
Wow.
Oh, it's fresh.
I love it.
It's fresh.
It's going to be stuck in your head all day, and that's why you're mad.
All day is a minimization of what I'm going to suffer for the next.
it's more like
it's
we've gone
easily
into
a week.
In detail. Now we plug it in there for 90
days.
Is it
going to inspire you to do any nice things for your partner? Are you going to cook them dinner?
I might cook her some things
are
she
you
likes.
Going to,
yeah.
Are you going to take any Wild West photos?
Yeah, I'll get a holster and use her for violence. the gun to my holster, it just, you know, it's I'm going to kill you with my wife is a little bit like.
I mean, we know that is only in the song because
it's a rhyme.
In a rhyme. But if you, discard that, if you accept.
Poster.
She's like a girl from a movie that's poster. It's so weak. But if you presume that it's not just a weak-ass rhyme and that it's really important to the world of the song, then I see it as just eighth grade posturing. It's just more evidence about the eighth grade lifestyle, about, you know, like, who wants to just like brag and be macho more than a young teenager?
I think if I'm talking about how I actually interpret it, it's always by your side, right? Gun in your holster, you always have it right on your hip.
Yeah.
Always right there.
Yeah.
That's okay. Actually
okay.
What
the, okay, I was going to pitch some alts, but yeah. You're right. I didn't write them.
Let's punch it.
Punch it! So there were two problems with this song.
Barely.
I mean, it's the perfect song.
It's not.
I mean, one problem is it's too
good.
Too
catchy.
It's too catchy. It gets stuck in your head.
Nah,
nah, nah, nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day.
And they use some hacks to make it so catchy.
Yeah, talking about iPods. I think there is another problem that we didn't talk about that much, which is a problem that's kind of outside of the song's control, which is, well, there's part of it's in the song's control. Like, does the song become the hit and the beloved song that it is without saying the word iPod? I don't think so, because that like was so 2009, 2010.
It's over time. Can we update
but
it?
Now
you
put it on and it's pretty dated.
It pretty, yeah. If we just change it to like, I accidentally set my Spotify to single track repeat.
Yeah, but also, Ayaz is just kind of falling off the map a little bit. He's not doing a lot. He hasn't released an album lately. He's released a couple tracks to his SoundCloud.
I'm worried about him.
We asked ourselves, what if, first of all, we could do what Phil wants and make the song a little less catchy, a little less good.
Yeah.
That would make the song better.
I would appreciate that, yeah.
And also, what if we could make the song be sung by a figure from 2009 who had more staying power, at least 1% more staying power than Ayaz.
Mm. I think that sounds like a recipe for success for me personally.
Okay, Phil, this week we have for you a video punch up, and I'm not promising our audience that we're going to do this every week.
We're going to have to go PIP.
in this, we're going to have to picture go picture and picture.
Wow.
But I'm happy to present to you our punch-up of Iaz's replay.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President.
You know who this guy is in 2022.
Yeah, this guy has staying power.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got like Netflix stuff going on.
This is inspiring too. It's not
laws will only pass with Democrats and Republicans. I believe we can, we must get the economy going.
I'm missing the mall a little bit, but I like the political unity.
But that's good that you're missing something from the song. That means the song is a little worse and it's not going to get stuck in Phil's head.
We share common hopes, common creed.
Again, this part not as catching. The na na na, we do not get stuck in replay. Still there, you still catchy. Yeah, still
the catchy. Always works.
But the different beliefs, different backgrounds. Phil is not. Phil's gonna forget that. It's not gonna be stuck in his head.
Stuck in replay.
Thank you. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Wow. Okay.
I do like that we talked about JR today, and even at that point in time, you had John Boehner doing the same with Obama.
Obama. Yeah, he Derulo'd Obama in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He put his beluga stamp on there.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that's a classic.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a classic.
It's a classic in that, I mean, Evan and I have to fess up a little bit in that.
As if it's not supremely obvious already.
Supremely obvious. This is a video that we made many years ago.
12 years ago.
Many years ago. That was tickled our funny bone then.
We pre-punched up replay.
We pre-punched it up.
Yeah.
And when Phil chose replay of his own accord, we just not like that would be cheating. It'd be cheating if we said Phil.
If we had pushed
No, replay. I did, and I will. I'll say it straight to camera.
Phil said
I did. Select this as one of the songs.
Yeah. Wow, thank you. Yeah, that would be the worst kind of virgin energy if we showed up saying, like, do this.
Do replay.
But we thought about it. We were like, how are we going to punch this up? And then as we talked about it, I was walking around the block of my house. I was trying to get some steps in while I was doing some work. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a minute, Evan. We already punched this song up. And we already addressed the problem, which is I isn't famous enough anymore. Obama is like, I think, hands down, one of the five most famous people on Earth.
He's quite famous.
He is amazing staying power.
He did he did a lot of work as president.
Yeah.
So yeah, now he's pretty famous for that.
Yeah, he does those Spotify lists, so you know what music to
listen to.
Yeah,
now he's a podcaster. Sure, he's a podcaster. Really famous podcaster.
But he's one of those people that like you would go to a foreign country and there'd just be shirts you could buy with his face on it. Like that's how famous.
You're right. That is a very specific level of fame.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Do people know about you in the US and Indonesia and Botswana?
Yeah.
The answer for me is no.
That would just weird me out.
They do not.
If I landed on a plane in Seoul, South Korea, went to the market, and there was just a shirt with
that,
my face
that would
on,
be very
that
scary.
That would make me feel very weird. Like if that happened to Obama, he would take a picture of it, send it to his group chat.
You know,
Korea.
he'd post about it. Yeah. I think it's an everyday. Yeah, he doesn't even notice it. He sees his face so much he doesn't notice his face.
Wow.
On t-shirts.
Yeah.
That's a level of fame.
Yeah, you're right.
When you're like, yeah, of course.
It's a certain level. Of course I'm here.
Of course I'm in the airport.
I'm ubiquitous.
That's twisted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually making me a little bit sad.
Yeah, I'm not even...
Yeah, poor Obama.
Next time I fly to Martha's Vineyard, I'm not going to buy one of those famous Martha's Vineyard Obama shirts.
Yeah.
Obama's face. Yeah. Martha's Vineyard Airport.
Just the champion white t-shirt with Obama's face on it.
Yeah. I'm going to cry right into my martini that Richard Branson served me.
So... we've come to the end of our podcast, Phil.
Yeah.
We've played you our 100% better version of Iaz's replay that I'm confident will not get stuck in your head as much as...
I'm not worried about it.
You're not worried about it
It's not
all.
As catchy.
You know, actually, but to your point, na-na-na-na, not today, might.
Still, that still pops off.
It
that
might.
Always works.
It literally
this
might.
Way, we don't change
I
that.
I really do think we improve every song we punch up, but this is a weird one in that like part of our assignment really is to make it worse.
Yeah.
So like to succeed, we have we
to go
have
forward.
To
you must go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very Game of Thrones.
Yeah. It's a new challenge every week. You know, but, you want to stay thirsty, stay hungry. Yeah. Challenge yourself.
Yeah, you can't be trapped in the strictures of your own rules.
Yeah.
We made the rules. We can bend them. We can break
yeah.
them.
You can't That's punch right. up every song by talking about how rude the guy is.
But there's one rule we can't break. And that is, Phil, that every week we end the podcast with a little segment we like to call
walk-in music. Walk-in music.
Yeah. A little song that you would play, not a little song, a normal song, that you would play while walking into a real or fictional scenario. Maybe you're walking into a World Series game as a reliever, they get real walk-in songs, right?
Yeah.
When you're a relieving pitcher, you actually get a walk-in
for
song.
Example.
Right.
Maybe you're like walking into your ex's wedding to break it up.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
Maybe just like the normal, like, I object, or you could be like hitting somebody with a chair.
Yeah, or song? Just having a good time at the wedding and being supportive.
Yeah. That's a
Everybody
more normal
gets
thing
real
to say.
Walk-in music at your own wedding.
It'd be very, very interesting if you had the walk-in music at your ex's wedding and then just had a good time as a nice guest.
Yeah. Is there a different amount of money that you'd have to bribe the DJ for those two different scenarios?
I think, I think way lower if you're going to be nice afterwards. Yeah.
You're just already there as a guest. Bribe. Yeah. You're already there as a guest, and you just walk over during the reception and say, "Excuse me, I'd like to request a song."
Right.
And you don't even mention that you're the ex. You
right.
just are a normal wedding guest.
Right. And you request it when they say be seated. Yeah.
For my scenario, I think it's maybe $5,000.
$5,000 if you're the 5, DJ or if you're bribing.
If
what
I'm
are you, you're
bribing,
offering?
I'm expecting that's what the DJ want. If I'm like, hey, I'm here to really screw this up.
Yeah,
but you got to put on this song. I hand them
$5,000.
I hand them my iPod.
iPod video.
Touch.
There you go.
And they say $5,000. That's the number I think they'd come up with. Off the
yeah, point. Yeah.
If they were an immoral person,
they don't.
A moral person, there's
they,
no amount of
they
money.
They have
to take.
No skin in the game, man. They would do this for $100.
You can do it for $100. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it depends. Yeah.
Yours is going to get a very bad review.
Yeah, you're not working with any of their. You're getting no word of mouth marketing from that couple in the future, especially if the person is going to be rude.
My walk-in song is that I have decided I'm in bed. And I decided that today is the day that I'm going to ask for my girlfriend's hand in marriage from her father. Mm. But I'm in bed. I've got to get to her father's house. Evan, could we...
Yeah, get done. Saturday morning, jumped out of bed.
Wait a minute.
I put on my best suit. I'm glad you asked.
This what is this?
This is I asked.
Wow.
In the year 2014... He uploaded a cover of Magic's Rude to his SoundCloud. And to me, it is so tragic because the man is like, in 2014, he's like, time for my comeback. But this time, no way I'm going to be attached to a one-hit wonder. I'm untethering my ship from one-hit wonderdom, and I'm going to cover Magic! Exclamation points. Rude!
Wow.
He sounds great. He sounds really good.
Iaz covering Rude from his SoundCloud.
Yeah. I think this is just like the instrumental track, right? I'd be a little bit more into it, I think, if it was just like covered it with a band from the Caribbean.
If he did a chill roots reggae cover.
Yeah. Or if he did, frankly, a pop cover. What's the 2014 Iaz pop cover sound like?
Mm. I'd love to hear him work it out vocally, though. Iaz doing his thing. I'm worried about you, though. I don't think this is going to go well for you. You go to ask your girlfriends.
You're going in really smooth for this. There's not the tension,
I put on my best suit.
Yeah, but you're going to walk in with like a little swagger on this, I feel like. Just like a calm swagger on it.
Exactly, and that's the problem.
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah, you want to go into it with humility, and you want to have paved the way. Like, you need to be 100% confident you're getting a yes before you even do it. You don't do this with uncertainty.
I want him to come back. I want him to come back.
I think that's what it is. I'm worried if that's your entrance music that you haven't thought that you have to be sure when you ask. You know?
Maybe
that you're like, yeah, I got this.
Maybe even you do a little gossiping with your girlfriend that, Hey, I'm thinking about
right.
You know, makes it back to her dad.
Right. You, you know. I think that's the move. I think if that's your entrance music, you might not have done that.
Yeah. You might. Exactly. You might, right. In fact.
Yeah.
Be the one who's rude.
Wow.
We do not need to litigate rude again, even though you're 100% right.
I want Ayaz to come back, but I want him to stay away from the one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
It's just so.
You want the real Ayaz.
So sad, yet a little humorous to me. And of all songs he chose to make his comeback with, it was yet another hit one-hit wonder by a Canadian reggae band.
Yeah.
Maybe he's okay with it. Maybe he's totally at peace and we're putting all this insecurity on him.
I think it's a little Ayaz irony. I'll go next. This song I want to share with you is just a song that I like, and this is a mood song for me. Just like setting a mood about a bad relationship. And in my scenario, I am sitting inside a dark drawer because I am a jilted, unused iPod. And this is the song that I sing when the drawer is open. I see a crack of light and my former beloved owner is using his iPhone to listen to music. He reaches in the drawer to get a pen or maybe the rubber bands. I'm not even in a nice desk drawer. I'm in the junk drawer. Ugh. The narrow drawer in the kitchen that's just the junk drawer.
The narrow junk drawer.
I'm forgotten. I'm a forgotten iPod in a junk drawer. Even I have the scroll wheel even. That's how old I am. But I was once beloved. And now I sing this song. I wish I knew you.
And you know what's happening on that iPhone? The iPhone he's listening to his music on?
Yeah.
That's streaming. That's just a variable quality, of the music, depending on his Wi-Fi connection. You have all the files.
I sound better. I have all the files. I don't need Wi-Fi. Ooh. And yet convenience has trumped me, jilted iPod.
If your owner really liked one specific album, they could take the trouble to put waves for that specific album rather than MP3s on that album.
Right.
Yep. Okay, this song is called Bad Habit. It's by Steve Lacy.
Great pick, Evan.
Thank you so much. Okay, Phil, I passed the baton.
It was very evocative. That was a good pick.
Thanks.
That song. My entrance music, I'm picturing myself at some sort of event. People are waiting for some guest to come out.
Mm-hmm.
The lights are all down. I step out, and this song begins to play. The announcer says, come to the stage, we have a certain New Yorker. And the audience is very excited because, as you may know, this song is
the most famous,
the greatest
song.
Closer of all in baseball, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, Mariano Rivera's entrance music. And it's always, every time he comes out, this music plays. And I'm backlit. I'm there. People are losing their minds. They're ready to see Mariano. And the lights come up, and it's me, and they all go, who? And I have to save that situation. But they realize that it wasn't really actually promised to them that it was Mariano Rivera.
Were there tickets sold?
There were tickets, like, with a special guest.
A guy out on the street like, we're going to be playing the Sandman tonight!
Yeah, exactly.
You like comedy?
Yeah, and whoever booked me for the show just way overestimated my star power for this situation, and they put this song on for me, and then I have to deal with the consequences. I think in this situation, I didn't know that it was the song that was playing for me.
So your public speaking appearance goes very badly for you.
I like to think I can save it, but I can't. It does go badly. I like to think I can overcome that, but I think that the disappointment of expecting Mariano Rivera and then my face appears smiling is a very different, you have to do a lot of mental shifts there, a lot of gears. You hear the grinding.
I've long wondered, Evan, that has, for like the last 20 years, that has been the tradition in our sort of home area. The big university there, mm-hmm. not in our hometown, but one town over, is Virginia Tech University, famous for their football program. Mm-hmm. When their football program takes the field, they play Enter Sandman. And I've always kind of wondered, well, like Mariano Rivera was playing before Like he probably didn't change his walk-in song, right? Did the Hokies just rip off Mariano Rivera?
Sure.
But now what I really want to know is, the first time they did it, were all the Hokies fans like, holy shit.
Yeah.
They got Mariano Rivera! He's got all his college eligibility left!
I think it's so incredible that that song is tied at the hip. He's such a good pitcher that he owns that song from Metallica. Like it's he's got to be really good to own that song, and he lives up to it every time.
Right. Yeah, there's no band that owns a sport.
Right.
But there is a sportsman who owns a song.
Owns a song.
It's his. It's really his.
Yeah.
And that's why I picked it when you said pick any song.
I chose that one. Thing that came
I love your scenario because it's predicated on just you being extreme weak sauce.
Yeah.
You picked the famous existing walk-in song and said, I'll do this badly.
I will do this. Also, on some level, as some people meet me, I feel like it is a who situation at first for a little while. I think I'm still in that phase of the career where people are going, who's that? Hopefully afterwards they don't do it a second time. That's what I'm hoping for. So this will at least earn me notoriety, if not recognition.
Yeah, Phil Jamison. Yeah, the guy with the who face.
He's the guy.
Exactly.
He's the guy with the pitches. Yeah. 100-mile-an-hour pitches.
Sure.
They kind of remember. He's got a cutter.
Yeah. He's handsome, but forgettable.
He went into the Hall of Fame, 100%. First guy ever in the history of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I saw him at a benefit. We were raising money for children's leukemia. He came out and he bombed.
He tried to do jokes. Yeah.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for coming on Punch Up the Jam.
I want to share with our audience that if you've enjoyed spending time with Phil here today, you should absolutely follow him on Twitter, which is at Phil Jamison. But you can also...
Two S's.
Two S's.
It's
double
it's
the S to get a tasty Jamison. A very forgettable but handsome Phil Jamison.
That's a double. Do you have a catchphrase?
Spelling catchphrase?
About whiskey and...
Yeah. Well, actually, people always ask me, like, the whiskey, and I say, no, because it's not... That's with one S.
Yeah, it's like.
But yeah, I say it's like that's a double name, all the time.
But you're slurring the name, Jameson.
It's like after you've had a double.
Exactly right.
Right.
But you can also experience a lovely laugh with Phil on his show, Hamlet Factory, which you can watch on Adult Swim, courtesy of HBO Max.
Right. It's on HBO Max and YouTube.
It's just a really funny show that Phil created and wrote and voices about the monkeys that you always hear about.
Yeah,
in the Infinite Factory of Monkeys, trying to come up with Hamlet.
That's right.
And they're doing it.
Man.
It's the office where it happens.
Oh, the adventures they have along the way.
I cannot wait for the finale when they finally... I mean, I don't want the finale to ever happen.
Right.
Presumably.
It will, but after an infinite number of episodes.
I'm praying that when you get to the infinite number, they finally get it done.
It would be nice to get it done.
Presumably, all of your watchers are on the edge of
their seat. But that's the whole point. They will never get there. It requires an infinite number of tries, and that's why the monkeys feel like they're stuck on replay.
Huh. Beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful wrap up there. Thank you very much for having
me.
It was a lot of fun.
Get the bunch up!
You've been listening to Punch Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Original.